Time to talk hockey. Elliot Friedman. Now you know you're getting close to the National Hockey League season. Elliot's with us. Good morning.
He wants a new Calgary arena so badly.
You know, I got to tell you, I've known Hugh for 20 years. It's the funniest thing he's ever said. You know, that don't go to Denny's, you end up at Denny's.
It's so true, though, isn't it? It's usually about 4:30 in the morning.
Meanwhile,
I never knew you to be funny until that moment.
Thank you. Sometimes
that's
on it. Purpose.
I think
Elliot,
you should retire. You. That's pretty much, you know, you've done it now.
Get him thinking about a Grand Slam breakfast, and the humor just flows out of him, flows out of his veins.
All right. Greg this morning was circling. He looked at next year's baseball schedule, circled 10 important dates. Have you circled the date where Calgary is moving to Seattle on your future schedule here?
Yeah, no, not really. I can't say that. You know, it is interesting. You know, everybody tries their tactic, right? And Daryl Cates tried showing up at a Seattle football game, and everybody laughed at him, and nobody took it seriously. Look, the Calgary Flames aren't moving. I think we all know that. There's an election coming up, as you guys mentioned, and this is their attempt to influence a decision that they feel is not moving in their direction. And, you know, the one thing I will say that has caught people by surprise is when Edmonton got that arena, and it's beautiful. It's one of the jewels of the NHL right now. I think everybody thought it was just a matter of time before Calgary would get theirs, that the people of Calgary would not stand for having the oldest arena in the NHL with Edmonton had this beautiful new facility a couple hours north. And the fact that it hasn't happened, I think that surprised some people, but now the Flames are going to make this an election issue.
But it's tough. You try and find that stadium or that arena in the NHL, Elliot, where it doesn't leave either taxpayers disgruntled or owners a little. I mean, Glendale is one. Detroit's another. Like, no one wants to say a bad thing about Mike Ilitch, but he took the city to the cleaners, and the Ilitch family got what they wanted out of building that arena. They didn't even know they'd get the Pistons as a tenant as well. So I can understand the Flames owners wanting to, there's a soaking process here, and yeah, they'll probably come to some kind of common ground, but you know, you talk to enough people in the media that are just, they've turned a total 180 on the idea of public money for a private venture, because they don't get to share in the ownership after they give the money, that's for sure.
Yeah, you know, there's always the battle. I mean, look, if you've been working in the media or in finance a long time, you know how these things work. But, you know, the public is funny a bit, Greg. Like, you know, you'll complain about, oh, my tax dollars. There's things that your tax dollars will go to that you complain about. And there's things that your tax dollars will go to that you don't complain about. You know, it varies from person to person. Like, you know, I remember one time, guys, like, I was sitting on a plane once, and this guy walked by me when I worked at the CBC. And this guy walked by me, and he basically said, I can't believe I pay your salary and your seat on this plane. And I'm like, okay, whatever. And, you know, you just laugh, right? And it's funny, like, you know, some people will care about that you get funded for the arts. And some people will say, well, I'm happy to have my money going to the arts. And some people will get mad that you fund sports. And other people will say, well, I like that you fund sports. And when Canada wasn't doing very well at the Olympics, people would scream the government has to spend more money on Olympians. And, you know, the one thing here is that the Flames have done it in a way that the public is going to get the vote. This is going to be an election issue. And at the end of the day, if there's enough people in Calgary who want the team to get a new arena, they'll get it. It's that simple.
But what happens if they don't get it? You were, your statement was nobody thinks that Calgary's going to lose their hockey team. What if the election goes against that? What if there's no new arena? Then what happens? Then push comes to shove.
I still don't think they're going to move.
And why would Bob McCown be on the same flight as you? I mean, why would he say that? You've done, you know, like, I thought you were close, and he would say that in a public environment, I don't know.
Bob is just mad that he was in 36E with no reclining seat.
That's when you told him you'd throw a better pitch to home plate from the Jays mound. I think that's what came up. Now Seattle is going to go besides the obvious controversy involving their soon to be ex mayor. That's quite unsettling to say the least. Seattle's getting this team, Seattle could be, is it more likely in your mind then that they're just team 32? That for scheduling, for playoffs, for formatting, for realignment, that the 32nd team's coming no matter what, and Seattle's the most obvious candidate now, more than Quebec and obviously more than a second Toronto team because you need the arena first.
Well, you know, I think, look, like we all look at Seattle, it's a Tim Leiwicki building. He's very well connected. He knows the NHL inside and out. He knows Leafs inside and out. Look, the moment that building is built, you can, or they really approve it or whatever happens, we can start the clock. I think we all know that. Mm-hmm. But what I think, Greg, is it gives flexibility. Maybe it's team number 32, or maybe it is. Or maybe it is somebody, you know, if Arizona doesn't get their building, that gives you an option. I think it gives you flexibility. It says we can solve a problem or we can make more money depending on what we can do here in Seattle. So I would just say that that's what that allows them to do. And I agree 100%. The moment that that thing's approved and it gets close to being built, then we're sitting here waiting for the next team.
I'm sure it was inevitable, but Greg Brady started beating the drums before anybody else. Drew Doughty and the Leafs. So he's got to want to stay in Los Angeles. He's got to want to see that they're going to do something going forward that's going to make that team have an opportunity to win a cup again. No, or else, you know, teams will be calling and they'll have to listen, won't they?
Yeah, well, I think there's a couple of things there. You know, we're 2 years away from Drew Doughty and Erik Karlsson being unrestricted free agents. And could you imagine what would happen if both those guys hit the market at that time? It would be nuts. And they're both going to make a lot of money. And I think they're both guys who want to win. And, put it this way. I think one thing we've learned in the NHL that if you get the right bounce in the lottery or you get the hot goaltender, you can win and it can really change your fortune. And, you know, Lou Lamoriello has a saying that I really like, and it's, if you have time, use it. And if I'm the LA Kings, for one thing, I know that Drew Doughty is a guy who is unafraid to speak his mind. You know, he told the Hockey News last week that he thought they needed a coaching change, that it was time. And there aren't a lot of NHL players who would say that. And, you know, so I think that if I'm the Kings, I know I've got this all-world defenseman here. I've got 2 years to sort this out, or at least a year. You know, you really have to think a lot going into the last year before unrestricted free agency. But I can figure out, what does this guy want? What do we need to do? How good are some of our players? If I'm the LA Kings, I'm not making any decisions yet.
Elliot Friedman, our guest, of course, preseason on the way. The Leafs will play a couple preseason games next week. His 31 thoughts, because Golden Knights are on Sportsnet. I know you've been pushing for contraction to get the league down to 24 teams, but you can't have everything in life.
Six. I'm going back for the original six.
that seems reasonable. But you note 12 for folks reading along at home is about James Van Riemsdyk. I don't want to see them dangle him. I don't want to see them move him. I think that this should be an all-in process this year. But you made the – there's a comparative there with TJ Oshie, and I agree with it. You describe it as maybe a template. Now, he signed for 8 years, $46 million. JVR at the end of this coming season would be 29 years old. Is it sort of like that inevitability that the lesser Leaf teams, Elliot, faced with Phaneuf and Kessel, where they kind of they weren't in love with those guys, but they kind of thought, if we don't pay him, we have a big void and someone else will give him that money. Is that the JVR circumstance, even though the team is on a much higher plane as a collective than when they had to sign Kessel and Phaneuf, they felt?
No, I don't think that's a fair comparison. And the reason why I don't feel that way, Greg, is I don't think they feel about that. Like, I think that if they really thought that they couldn't sign him or that he didn't want to stay, I think they would let him go. But, you know, you played the clip just in the update with you there about 15 minutes ago where Brendan Shanahan talked about, you know, do you want to be a team where people want to go and get paid? Or do you want to be a team where people want to stay and be part of it? And the one thing I think he's right about is that players want to stay and they want to be part of it. You look at Connor Brown, okay? Connor Brown is a guy who, you know, some other teams love seeing Connor Brown sign that contract. Some other agents and players, they wanted Connor Brown to sign for more. But Connor Brown loved being a Leaf, and he took the deal. And, you know, I think James Van Riemsdyk is a guy who looks at this situation. You feel you have a chance to be part of something special in Toronto. We've got columnists writing about how they're going to win the Stanley Cup, okay? I think players see they have a chance for something special, and they want to be part of it. And I think James Van Riemsdyk at the end of last year, just like Oshie said, I want to stay. Okay, so that's part number one. Now, part two is, does the team want him to stay? And I think under the right circumstances, yes. I think the Maple Leafs would like Van Riemsdyk to stay. So now what you've got to do as an organization and what you've got to do as a player with your agent is you got to sit down and say, okay, if we want to make this work, how can we do it? And I think, you know, talking to Oshie and the way he felt about Washington, because he was in New York at the media tour last week, I think I was just thinking if Van Riemsdyk and the Leafs want to make this work, that's what they got to do.
Sure, yeah.
And you look at the Zaitsev deal, that's exactly what the Leafs and the player did.
But somewhere along the way here, as they get to the point where they are a Stanley Cup contender, it seems that the void is still in the 3-4 defense, and they have an abundance of forwards, and someone is going to be needed to go if that's the deal that needs to be made.
You know, I would say conventional wisdom indicates you're right, Elliot, but watching the Stanley Cup final last year and watching the Pittsburgh Penguins win the Stanley Cup with those defensemen, and by those defensemen I mean guys who didn't mainly have great pedigrees, but what did they do? They played smart. They said, you know what, you know, we realize our limitations. They had great goaltending. They had forwards who said, okay, we've got to help and make sure that we are team defensive players. Why is Crosby the best player in the world? Because he reminded everybody he's the best two-way player in the world. And those defensemen, they didn't get themselves into trouble. I don't have a play here. I'm going to get rid of it. And I think if you're watching that Stanley Cup last year, I don't think it's necessarily the route you want to take. But you recognize that if you have smart players who know their limitations and they're surrounded by a great team, you can win.
This is rule stuff. We'll finish up with this only because I've heard it reiterated from people in the hockey world. They're like, the general public, Elliot, doesn't realize how many early season slashing penalties are going to be called. And I don't know if I'd call it like the Crosby Mathot rule, but like how we were out of the lockout. I was doing junior games then, and they were calling every little ticky-tack, hook, obstruction, whatever. So you'd get done a game, and you'd be like, wow, there were only 31 power plays tonight. And then everyone adjusted. Do we see this really early on? The slash, they want to get all these things, all these little hacks and whacks when a guy's on a breakaway or going into the corner. They want to get them out because there are too many players. The broken finger, something George Parra said on Primetime Sports. The gloves aren't protective enough to brace themselves from these slashes.
Yes, and you know what? I think that's the time to do it, to be perfectly honest, Greg. Like, go hard in the preseason and see if guys adjust. I know the slashes are getting a lot of the attention. The one I'm really curious about is the players turning into the boards. Like, you know, Perro said when we spoke to him last week that they have numbers showing that where do they see the most injuries? Along the boards. And they showed a clip to all the rookies of Radko Gudas getting ejected from a game on a play where Jimmy Vasey was skating towards the boards and turned at the last minute away from Gudas, and Gudas plastered him, and Gudas got ejected. And he said, and they sent out videos saying, you know what, Jimmy Vasey wasn't exactly innocent in this either. And that's a call I think that I'm very curious about, because first of all, I think it's a hard call to make at full speed. And secondly, the optics of it are going to be hard, because even if a guy turns late, if he gets plastered into the boards and he's lying there, people in the moment don't understand that that's his fault. So I think that's going to be the bigger challenge, to change that attitude, both from the players and the fans watching the game at a time where we're very concerned about concussions and health.
Elliot Friedman, great to talk to you again. Means hockey's around the corner. Plus, it's nice to talk to you. Nice to have you back.
Always.
Thanks, Elliot. I appreciate it.